It's just working his plan perfectly. He's managed to let fear begin to rule. And in doing so, he's blinded wonder. He's crushed the fragile shell of hope. He's captured the memories. And now, he has put to death dreams and replaced them with nightmares. Things aren't looking good for our guardians right now. Sanderson Man Snoozy. We just call him Sandman. They call him Sandy. He's a powerful guardian that, ironically, in the entire movie, never says a word. He lives on the island known as the Island of Sleepy Sands. And while it appears that he is Pitch's true enemy, and really the only one that Pitch is afraid of, and that's because of what he guards. Sandman is the guardian of our dreams. And well, dreams are a very, very powerful thing. And so this morning, excuse me just a second. There you go. This morning we are going to talk about dreams. But I'm not talking about the kind that you have when you close your eyes at night and you go to sleep. I'm talking about your vision. Those things that you want out of life. And unfortunately, I hope I don't put you to sleep, but before we can start talking about dreams and vision, I got to give you a history lesson. And the history lesson goes something like this from Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out a capstone and shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me by the hands of Zerubbabel. By the hands of Zerubbabel have laid a foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel." I think, huh? Let me catch you up on what's going on here. 70 years earlier, Babylon had run over Israel and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and they leveled the temple. It's all gone. Later, the Persians took over Babylon, and King Cyrus called for Zerubbabel, and the king told him to take 50,000 people and return to Jerusalem and rebuild this once great city wall and the temple. The people worked hard, and when the wall was all done, they began to work on the temple itself. And then other people wanted to help. It's logical. They're excited. Things are happening. Building is exciting. And well, they were told they couldn't help build the temple. So they did what any good people would do. They wrote a letter to the government complaining that this was going on. And ultimately, the king wrote a letter back and told them, "You have to stop building the temple." 16 years, the temple lay in ruin. Half started. But the glory of the house of the God was not complete. And well, Zerubbabel, he was left with unfulfilled dreams, uncompleted goals, unfinished works, frustrated desires. And really what he was wondering is, will the nightmare ever end? When, God? When do we get to rebuild the temple? You sent me here for a mission, a vision, a dream, and it's turned into a nightmare. It's not going the way I had planned it to go. A dream or a vision is simply defined as a series of thoughts, images, or emotions occurring during sleep, or if you're doing the waking kind, a strong desire, goal, or purpose. And while our friend the Sandman makes a great holding place for this particular thing, again, we're not talking about dreams that we have in sleep. We're talking about how do you cope with fear when it seems the vision is dying, or worse yet, what happens when you look at your vision and it's dead? Those are scary moments, folks. When you had a plan and you had a vision and you had a goal and you had a way that you wanted your life to go and it's all falling apart, I'm afraid I'll never feel good again. Where do I go from here? So today, if you have your copy of God's Word, you can make your way to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, and we're going to talk about how to make a dream live again, or better yet, how to restart a vision. Now, while you're getting to chapter 37, I'm going to start in 36 and read, and then I'll catch up with you in a minute. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 33 through 38 tells us what the dream is. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. One day I will cleanse you from all your sins. That's a good dream. I will resettle your towns and the ruins will be rebuilt. That's a good dream. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all and become like the Garden of Eden. I like that plan. The cities that were lying in ruins and desolate and destroyed are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you will remain, will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and I will do it. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Once again, I will yield to Israel's plea and do this for them. I will make their people as numerous as sheep, as numerous as the flocks for the offerings at Jerusalem during the appointed festivals. So will the ruined cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know I am the Lord. And this is a big dream. It's a dream of restoration. All those things in my life that got torn down are going to get fixed. It's a dream of return. I'm going to get to go back home, and I'm going to get to go back to where I grew up. It's a dream of rebuilding. That thing that wasn't there, I'm going to get to put it back where it once was, and it's all going to be like it was before. It's a dream of renewal, the fact that my crops are going to be plentiful. And I just want to make sure you see it. From Israel's setting, folks, that's an impossible dream. There is no way on earth Israel has the resources to do what God says is about to happen for them. And I'm sure they're looking and saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good sermon there, folks, but we've heard this and we've seen this and we've done this before. And really, how do we get there? Well, that's what chapter 37 is. We turn the page. We get to meet up with this guy named Ezekiel. And well, he's going to tell us how do we go about kickstarting this vision. And well, funny enough, the rebirth of a vision started with a dream. So here's the dream. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 4 through 6. Then, excuse me, go back up, Barry. Verses 1 through 3. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, and he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, and, well, they were very dry. Now, I told you this is a dream. This is not a physical moment. Ezekiel was not magically by Star Trek technology transported out to somewhere, and he's physically standing in the valley. He tells us that he was brought out by the Spirit of the Lord. He's having a vision, a dream. God is trying to teach Ezekiel something through this vision. So there he is. And ironically, Usually when I have a plan, I like to pick the starting point. God picked the starting point. What does it say? It said, the Lord set me. He decided the valley. He led me back and forth amongst the bones that were laying on the ground. And I'm sure as Ezekiel was walking back and forth and all he saw was bone after bone after bone, and most of them probably broken at this point, he's probably asking, is this a dream or is this a nightmare? Lord, are you giving me a dream, a promise, or are you showing me it's over and it's done and all that's left is this dry valley of bones? And I'm sure as Ezekiel walked back and forth, discouragement began to set in. Maybe he began thinking of the battles that caused all of these people to be in this valley dead. Maybe he's looking at the brokenness and he begins to maybe feel just a little bit discouraged. But as God continues the vision in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 3, we get to a moment of truth. This was God's question. He asked me, Son of Man, can these bones live? Sovereign Lord, you alone know. And I love this question. You know what God wants to know? Ezekiel, look around. You see all these bones? There are so many of them, you can't walk without stepping on it and hearing them crunch. I want to know something. Is it possible? Is it? If they had went and asked the doctor, I'm sure the doctor might have come out and looked at those bones, and maybe he would have humored us a little bit and stuck his hand on them to see if there was a pulse, and maybe he would have pulled out a stethoscope and put it down there and saw if he had anything at all. And he probably would have looked at Ezekiel and said, it's not possible. These things are as dead as a doornail, Ezekiel. If we had brought out a biologist, maybe he would have drilled into the bones and taken a little sample, and he could have taken that little sample back to the lab, and he could have ran some little tests on it, and he could have done all this diagnosis, and he would have come back to Ezekiel, and he might have said, Ezekiel, we ran all the scientific tests that there are, and guess what? It ain't possible. These things can't live. Maybe he could have asked an archaeologist this question, and they could have brought their excavation equipment out, and they could have dug them up, and they could have saw all the bones there, and they could have looked at them, and the archaeologist probably would have said, this is a nice dig site, Ezekiel, but guess what? It ain't possible. These bones, they absolutely, positively cannot live again. But I love Ezekiel's answer. Because when Ezekiel was asked this question, he didn't look at the science of it. He didn't look at the possibility. What he said, God, whatever you say. If you want these bones to live again, okay, we can do it. And that's the first thing you need to see about restarting the vision. A vision can't be reborn until we find it possible. If I look at where God wants me to go and what God wants me to do and what God has put in front of me, and I look at it and say, that's not possible. I can't afford it. I don't have time for it. It doesn't make any sense. It's just not possible. As long as you have that mentality, guess what? The vision cannot be reborn. It is what it is. At some point, you have to look at it and say, God, if this is what you want, I haven't got a clue how we're going to do it, but if this is what you want, okay, we'll go with it. I'll give you a thumbs up. I guess, God, it's possible. And I guess as the story continues, Ezekiel was probably thinking, I should have kept my mouth shut and never asked that question, because then we get to, there ain't no other way to put this. This is a foolish request. This is what God tells Ezekiel, I want you to do next. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord said to these bones. I will make my breath enter you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come on you and cover you with skin. I will put my breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. Hey, you. Do you know I got plans for you? You're not a bone. I'm going to preach to you, and that didn't work. And I'm sure as Ezekiel heard this request, he's thinking, preach to the bones? God, in case you didn't notice, they ain't got no ears. Hello? They can't hear me. Okay? There's nothing. And God, there's no brain to process the information. And look, God, there's no heart. God, this is nothing but a dead bone. God, what are you asking me to do? Preach to the bones? Come on, God. That's your plan? Seriously? Look, God, you alone can do this. I admit that. So why do you need me to preach to them? I'll tell you what. I'll go back home and sit, and you can do your thing, and you make the bones live, and you give me a call when you're done. Tell me we don't take this approach with God sometimes. God gives us vision impossible, and we look at God and we say, God, you've lost your mind. Life doesn't work like that. That's not how you accomplish a vision. What kind of plan do you have? But see, that's the point. You see, a vision can't live unless we are willing to do what God asks of us. Now, what God asked of Ezekiel, was it within his means? He might have felt like a fool doing it, but he absolutely positively could stand out in that valley and preach to a bunch of bones. He could. He absolutely positively could do exactly what God asked him to do. But we need to remember, until Ezekiel did it, nothing happened. The bones were still the bones. You knew I was going to get back to this eventually, right? I wasn't going to go very far from these verses. What does God ask of us? Here it is. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, always to the very end of the age. Jesus echoes this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And as I look at that, I keep telling God, God, I can't fix this world. I didn't ask you to. I just asked you to go and preach to it. God, I can't make them do things the way I think that should be done. I didn't ask you to. I just asked you to go be my witness. God, they're not listening to me. They don't have any ears for it anymore, God. I didn't ask you to make them listen. I just asked you to open your mouth. And you're really good at that. Because you can open it for everything else in your life that you want. You see, God's plan sounded absolutely ludicrous, but he wanted us to see what could happen when you get a compliant response. So here we go. We're in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 7 through 8. So I being Ezekiel, prophesied as I was commanded. I'm sure he felt like a fool doing this. Bones? Maybe he named him. By the way, this guy's name is Horatio. He'll be back later this year, or maybe next year. We'll see where he fits in, but he'll be back. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise and a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Now I want to pause here for just a minute, because I want to tell you something. I would love to have been a clip and saw what this really looked like, because at the same time, I've got a feeling Ezekiel was excited. Here are these bones, and they're flying around. Disney could do a great job with this. A magic whirlwind, and they're coming together, and the bones are fitting together, and then tendons are coming, and skin is forming. And note the order. You get all the innards coming before he covers it with the skin. So Ezekiel's sitting here, and while he is probably pretty excited, I'm sure he's also horrified. That had to be scary, watching these bones that were once dry and dead, and now they're becoming flesh. And when he's all done, do you know what he's got? A pile of dead bodies. What good did that do me? You do realize, God, a dead body is no more good than a dry bone. I mean, a dead body, what are you going to want me to do with that? That's not very useful. I mean, God, a dead body? This thing can't hold a hammer. It can't help me rebuild a temple. A dead body, it can't hold a sword. It can't help me protect a city. A dead body, it can't watch a nursery. A dead body can't play a musical instrument. A dead body can't preach. A dead body really isn't much good to me, God. Lord, surely your plan isn't that you're going to have me bury all these things. You know how long that's going to take? This valley's full of these bodies. I'll be here forever. Now, Ezekiel spoke what God said speak, and he did exactly what God said do. But I do want you to see, he did not get ahead of God. I mean, as he's sitting here, and now instead of standing in the valley of dry bones, he's now standing in the valley of dead bodies. And he's probably wondering, okay, God, what next? It's the what next that we really need to pay really good attention to. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 9 and 10. And then he said to me, okay, God, you're still talking. I am so glad there's a plan B or a part B to this, because obviously I didn't get what I wanted out of this. Well, then he said, prophesied to the breath. Prophesied, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds and breath into the slain, that they may live. So, I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Now, why do I find this so interesting? Sermon number one was to the dry bones. It's kind of like, oh, Horatio, Horatio. I could be Hamlet with this thing. Wouldn't that be cool? No, that doesn't work. I could be Scar. Maybe I should have done that. So the first lesson was to the bones. The second lesson really wasn't a sermon. It was a prayer. I can't make these things live on my own. You need to ask God to now do only what God can do. You know, you realize we're all the way back at the beginning, right? When God created man, what did he do? First, he formed him. And then it says, then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Here we are in the valley to rebirth our vision. And first we have to get physical. And then God says, let me breathe in. And I have an interesting question. Why two steps? Think about it for a minute. Why two steps? Wouldn't it have been much more awesome if I only had to do one message, and I just said, get up, walk, and it all happened, and there before me was standing an army. I have a theory, and I don't know, it's not my theory, it's somebody else's theory, but I think it's a really good theory, and therefore I've stolen it, and I've now made it my theory. And what God needed Ezekiel to see, there is a difference between being physically ready and spiritually alive. Now wrap that into the here and now. There is a difference to be physically present and spiritually ready. If I wanted to, and I could pay enough people to do it, we could maybe go to the morgue or maybe to a funeral home the day before, and we could get all the dead bodies we wanted, and we could put them in the pews and set them up, and we could fill the pews with bodies. They would be physically present, and I guess we could count them and write them in our attendance book, and then we could send our attendance out and say, look how much we've grown! Our attendance has quadrupled. Did I accomplish my vision? No. Because there's a difference between physically showing up and coming and being spiritually ready to do something that God has you to do. And I think this is a problem in our churches today. We are very busy with physically showing up, and we are not very ready to be spiritually alive and go and do the things that God has called us to do. So God gives Ezekiel these wonderful two steps that first gets yourself physically ready, and then we're going to make you spiritually alive. And by the way, there is one little step in between it. And yeah, this is me when God says this. Between the physically ready and the spiritually alive, that's your moment. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and make sure that the vision that you think you have is the vision that God has for you. Take stock in what God had given, because God had given him resources. And make sure that what you're doing is what God would have you to do. Be still, take a moment, and take a breath. But when you're done, get ready. Because this be still and know that I'm God, it is but an itty-bitty moment. So when God is all done and Ezekiel has his army and they're all ready to go, I'm thinking Ezekiel's probably thinking, please don't let me wake up. Please don't let me wake up. Please don't let me wake up. Because all of my army is going to be gone, and God, then I got to go do this for real in the real world. God says, well, before you go, Ezekiel, let me give you a lesson. So church, when it comes to our dreams and our visions, and we need to understand when it comes to them right now, we have a lot of dry bones. Things that were once working in the church, let's face it, during the pandemic, they're all broken apart. And a lot of our rituals and traditions and things that we thought church was, they are scattered on the valley of our mountain, just like they were scattered on the valley there. And we're wondering, God, how on earth do we put this back together? Well, here is God explaining the object. I love it when God does this. I don't have to write sermons to do this. All I have to do is read what God said. This is what God said is the point behind the valley. We're in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 11 through 14. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are all dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy to them and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. God makes this really simple. The bones on the floor, they are, in this vision, Israel. For us, the people of God. Those are the ones that have been broken apart. Those are the ones that have been slain. Those are the ones who have lost their vision, and they've lost their life, and they've lost their heart, and they're sitting there and they're just wondering, why, oh, why are we here? They say our bones are all dried up. And interesting enough, their hope is gone. They're cut off. It sounds a lot like what we've been watching on the screen for the past few weeks. But here's what I want you to know. It's not over. Because as we read through Ezekiel, it tells us the Lord will make your vision live again. He says, his responsibility. I am going to open the graves and bring you up from them. Now, I don't think we're going to actually see people walking out, but that's not the vision here. But those things that I thought was dead and gone and over, God says, give them to me and let me breathe new life into them. God says, the Lord will restore you. We keep trying to fix it, right? We keep trying to figure out how to get people physically here. And the problem is that they get here physically, they stay for a while, and then they leave, and they bounce, and they go. And we're like, God, why is it not working? It's because, you understand, I don't need you physically here. I want to restore you. I want to put it back like it was. Well, what was it like? Garden of Eden. Now, I'm not talking about we're all going to walk around naked, thank goodness. And I don't think we're going to all become vegetarians, and I'm not looking for the garden. What I'm talking about is God says, I'm going to make it where you can be in the garden, and you can walk and talk with me, and the relationship is completely open. That's restoration. The Lord has chosen you. Man, I like the sound of that. I'm on the team. I got drafted. I got picked. I'm not the last one on the court for the kickball game. I'm all good. God has picked me for this mission. God has picked me for this vision. The Lord, if we allow him, will bring new life to our old vision. Now, I put that clause in there. If we allow him, he will bring new life to our vision. Now, if we don't allow him, we just want to keep doing it in our own power, God will allow us to do that also. But be honest with you, how's it working for us? Been there? Done that? The Lord calms our fears by he says, hey, I am with you. I love what he says at the end. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. I love this passage. This isn't the first time I've ever preached through this sermon. It will be the last I come back to this passage. I love this passage of Scripture. There are so many things that we could teach out of this one passage, but today, here is our call. Wake up. Do you hear me? Wake up. I'm not telling you to wake up because the sermon's over and it's time to go home. I'm talking about wake up your heart. Wake up your angst. Wake up those things that you think aren't possible. Stop just dreaming. You know what a dream is? I talk about dreams. I have a dream at night and sometimes I'll remember them and I'll get up and maybe I'll talk with my... I talk about dreams. You know what I don't usually do with dreams? I don't do anything with them. I don't do anything with them. So we need to wake up, stop dreaming, and start envisioning what God has for our church now. These dry bones that lay on the past, we need to understand God wants to do something new and fresh with them, but we have to be willing to accept the mission and the vision. Rich talked about it being a new covenant. Folks, things have changed. The way that we were doing it isn't going to always be the same way. It is time for us to realize God wants to make anew our life. Now, maybe you're here this morning and this all